of all, just to point out, it is always a it's always close for us to be able to be together and to learn together. We I guess do not have that opportunity as often as maybe we should. And it's definitely a wonderful stuff whenever it is possible for us to be able to spend some time learning together. For Kaitzman and Shir, we're going to be speaking about the letters of Rav Huttner, and today's Shir is going to be about a very important topic in the thought of Rav Huttner, and that is Rav Huttner on Rebbe Talmud relationships. Rav Huttner, I want to give a very brief background. Next week, I have a bit more of an introduction. But a very brief background now just to Rav Huttner and to speak really about what is a very important sugya, I believe, in his thought in particular. Rav Huttner Rav Shiva of Chaim Berlin is a very unique figure. He drew from a lot of different places, a Talmud of the Alter of Slobodka, when he was younger in life, spent a lot of time as a bit of a Talmud of Rav Kook. Later on in life, had a bit of a connection with the Satmar Rebbe and some others. A very sort of out of the box and a very unique and important figure. A Shiva of Chaim Berlin, like we said, well, one of the things that made him unique was he was spent a lot of time in the world of Machshava. Aside from the Rosh Yeshiva, spent a lot of time giving Shirim. Rosh Yeshiva spent a lot of time paskening Shailas. There are also Rosh Yeshiva that excel specifically in the area of Machshava. And Rav Huttner is someone that spent a lot of time. His first sefer published was really Torah Nazir, which is sefer on Hilchos Naziris. But the work he's known most for is Sfarim Pachad Yitzchak. There's a Sfarim on the Moedim, but there's also another volume of Rav Huttner's letters. Rav Huttner's letters are primarily letters to Talmidim, though there are some other things in there also. And when you go through it, one has the ability to learn a lot about Rav Huttner and who he was, and because, again, one of the great Baalei Machshava, there's a lot to talk about. He pulled from lots of different sources, and the way it comes together in Rav Huttner is something which is very important. But let's sort of focus on our issue for today. Source number one. What I want to try to do today is to outline how Rav Huttner understood, what he understood is supposed to be unique about Rebbe Talmud relationships. I want to then try to show a couple of contexts where that comes up in his letters and how that manifests itself specifically in the thought of Huttner. And then to end with sort of a mimer of his in Shavuos that talks a lot about, which is a bit of a critique of the current Metzius in how things go. Let's start like this. Source number one, Pachi Yitzchak Igros Uksavim. That is really a write-up of a shmooze that Rav Huttner gave to younger Bachrim on the topic of the importance of their learning in that particular time. And Rav Huttner, it's a beautiful Hebrew that Rav Huttner has, and I say that, you know, rarely. It's beautiful, the references to Tzukim and Ma'amari Chazal, the way he writes things. We'll speak about maybe next week, but it's really powerful. And Rav Huttner is talking to them, and he writes as follows. He gets up to speak to a large room, and he says, you know, we're talking to everyone, but Aliba de MS, I'd rather talk to everyone here one-on-one. And unfortunately, you know, for time, I can't, but that's really what I want. And I want to explain to you why I'd rather speak to each of you individually. For sure you've heard of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. When he founded Volozhin, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, says Rav Huttner, had a slight change in terminology. He changed the way that Talmidim were referred to. He opens up with a question. Rav Chaim Volozhiner shifted the way that people learning yeshiva were referred to. Initially, prior to the time of Chaim Volozhiner, people would say, I'm a Talmid in the yeshiva, Talmidei HaYeshiva. And he shifted the Lashon to refer to Talmidim as Bnei HaYeshiva. What's the significance of calling them Bnei HaYeshiva? Why the shift? So Rav Huttner, and those of us that have learned Pachad Yitzchak know, the style of Rav Huttner, in particular Pachad Yitzchak, is to ask a bunch of questions, to then develop a yesod, and to tie it all back together. It's more of like a sheer klali kind of a system, for those of us familiar with that format, where there are a couple, of questions in the beginning, and after those questions, you know, sort of like one sweeping yesod that ties things together. So Rav Huttner is continuing to go on, and he develops the following yesod. The Gemara says often the Tanam, they met someone young. And after a brief conversation, the Tanam said about that person, that I'm sure this person is going to one day be in Mor Hora B'Yisrael. Before this, I once had a similar experience. I was talking with a young person. I asked him a question, and his answer revealed to me, I'm sure that person is going to be a Mor Hora B'Yisrael. That person is going to be someone very special. Before this, I asked him the following question. Sha'alti Oso, in a Yeshlecha Rebbe Sha'atalome Yetzlo Gemara, Ulahavim Ben Kodesh L'chol Yeshlecha Morash Talome Yetzlo Secular Studies. You have two teachers. You have a Rebbe who teaches you Gemara, and you have teachers that teach you secular studies. Putner said, I asked the Talmud the following question. Is your relationship with them the same? And if it's not the same, can you please be magdir for me what exactly the difference is between your relationship with your Rebbe and your relationship with your secular studies teacher? Well, just to give me a precise definition. The Talmud thought for a little bit and responded with the following, and Futner accepts this as a good definition and is the basis, from his perspective, to understanding Chaim Velazner's shift. Huchashav Ezer Regalim Vasofa Shemiah Hasvar Masir says as follows. Hayacha Shali as Mora Shalimude Chol, who doma lamish makabal mazam miyado shal mevashal hamazam. My relationship to the secular studies teacher is like someone who receives food from the person who prepared the food. A person came in and they cooked it and they served it to me. That's my relationship with them. However, Hayachsi El HaRebi Dome Lemish Mekabel Mazum Mimi Nekes Shalom. From my Rebbe, my relationship is not like I receive food from someone who prepared it in the kitchen and then served it to me. But it's like a child that nurses from their mother. In both cases, they are receiving sustenance. But when you get it from someone who served it, that is it's a very external kind of a relationship. The food is prepared over there. The food is then given over. The person who served it is definitely important. But it is in many ways external. It is in many ways, there's some sort of a distance that occurs between the act, that which I'm receiving, and the personality who's giving it over. The relationship with a Rebbe, this person was describing, and a footnote accepts, the relationship with the Rebbe is one that is, Hamineches mazina es ayonek betam tis chayeha. It's giving over life. The mother, when it gives over to the baby, is giving over a part of that life. Ein kan ela. So he said, after I heard this, I said, Muftachani shuzayiyem moreh horad b'Yisrael. Says Rav Hutner, that is the difference between a Talmud HaYeshiva and B'nai HaYeshiva. Talmud HaYeshiva is a phrase that describes someone who was mekabel a certain kind of information, but all they received was somewhat external. That which they received from their Rebbeim, and that which they received from their Yeshiva, was definitely important. It was content. Significant and important content, but it was not as integral, it was not as personal as it's supposed to be. Torah is supposed to be what you're supposed to get. B'nai HaYeshiva is someone who got something much more personal. Is someone who got, it is like nursing from a mother, not like receiving food from a kitchen. It was supposed to be an intimate kind of an experience that a person has when they receive Torah. That when you receive Torah from a Rebbe, it's supposed to be more than just the receiving of information. Rav Hutner, in a different letter, has a very important insight where he describes two phenomena, and it was two things he describes that I've struggled with a lot, and was Mekabel the Musar. Rav Hutner, in the second letter, it relates to the same side of same piece of what a Talmud and a Rebbe, what that relationship is supposed to look like. Clearly from the first piece, it's supposed to be very personal, very intimate, getting over a part of the life of a Rebbe, what gets him going, his life giving that over. Says Rav Hutner here in this letter, Besov Parsh Kisavo Rashi Kotei Maimer Chazal. Rashi Kotei Maimer Chazal, the She'en Adam Omeid Al Sof Daitel Shel Rabo Ad-Arba'im Shana. It takes 40 years to be Omeid Al Das Rabo. There's a well-known comment, at least in certain circles, that Rav Hutner said that he experienced that with the Torah of Rav Kook. His relationship with Rav Kook is sometimes a bit more complex than how it's described sometimes in religious Zionist works. We'll save that for another time. But Rafutner commented about his relationship with the Torah of Kook, that only after 40 years did he was he really able to appreciate some of the things that were there. I remember hearing recently Tom and Rafutner make a similar comment about his relationship with Rafutner. Sometimes it takes a long time. Rafutner asked, what's Pshan that Maimar Chazal? Our button shut your own made al divrei Rafa. How is that possible? Sometimes a Rebbe, the Torah that a person receives, can be a major influence in how you live your life, but that may only kick in years down the line. It may only kick in years down the line. Right away you hear it, and maybe it won't have that much of a shift or that much of a change. Years later, you see that change. Planting seeds now. Lashon Ravolbi of the Zuriya Ubinyan Bechina. You plant seeds now, and sometimes you only see the result at a later point in time. Rafutner says, I have to be just to be medayik a little bit, but what exactly am I getting later on? What's the Lashon of Ein Adam Omeid? That you only are Omeid al Sof Daito Shel Rabo. What's the significance of being Omeid al Sof Daito Shel Rabo? What alenu lahagder b'diyuk es toch hamadrega shel amida al das rav. So he offers the following. Last paragraph here, verse number 2. V'kanonu magiim l'nekudus achidus shel inyanenu. This is a beautiful insight. Efshar lahavin heitiv es adivrei Torah shel harav. A person can understand everything their Rebbe is saying. Efshar lahasigam heitiv akadei hosafas chidushin b'hem. You can understand the Torah of your Rebbe. Akadei kach. You can even build off of that Torah and share chidushim within that Torah, original insights that emerge from that Torah. It's all possible to do. Umikom makom ha'amida al das harav chaser legamrei. It doesn't take 40 years to understand Shir. It doesn't take 40 years to say a chiddush based on what you heard in that Shir. That you can all do. Amida is something else. Amida zo perusha. It takes 40 years. Amida is to appreciate the connection between the Torah of the Rebbe and who the Rebbe really is. Who he is in his essence. To receive information, says Rav Huttner, anyone can receive information. It doesn't take 40 years. But to appreciate how the information that you are receiving is part and parcel of who that Rebbe is. He's giving over his chaye, part of his chiyas. He's giving over what makes him into him. It is in the lashon of the first letter to nurse, kivyal, to nurse from a Rebbe, to get that kind of intimate experience. To see how that which I received was not just a yediyah about a Rashba, a yediyah about a Rambam, or a yediyah about a letter of Rav Huttner. But to see how that which I received was really who that Rebbe was. He's giving over a lot of who he was, his personality, his essence. He's trying to share much more. That is something which takes, often, says Rav Huttner, 40 years to be able to appreciate. That which you're receiving is not just information. Rav Huttner says again, the relationship of Rebbe to Talmud is supposed to be much more intimate. It's supposed to be close and personal. One that ideally, says Rav Huttner, should be done b'yichidus, in a one-on-one kind of a way. It's supposed to be something that says about Huttner, which is not about understanding content, though it's definitely also that. But it's supposed to be one where the Talmud is experiencing, when he learns that Torah, I'm not just hearing information, I'm interacting with a personality. I'm receiving something of a personality. Rav Huttner then gives a little bit of Musar. He says there are sometimes one that does not understand this Yesod can get frustrated in two contexts. Can get frustrated in two situations. It's so good because I can feel this sometimes. Ha'efshar limtso simanim muvhakim shel koach amid al das harav eitzal mekab. It's possible to find signs. How do you know if you've gotten it or you haven't gotten it? How do you know if that relationship is there or if it isn't there? Rav Huttner gives two signs. Sign number one, the dugma. You can find people, Ba'ale hasaga, ba'ale havana. They're great in learning. They have a hard time hearing the same vort multiple times from a Rebbe. They have a hard time hearing the same shtickle time and time again. They have a hard time being mekabel. Ruba de ruba zemor be'etzba ki chaser lahema ki sharon shalom mida al das harav. If you get frustrated when you hear the same vort time and time again from your Rebbe, that is a sign, says Rav Hutner, most of the time, that you have not really internalized a certain kind of value. We'll talk about why in a second. Another phenomenon, says Rav Hutner, if you're sitting in a room and you can't understand what the Rebbe is really saying, you're in the room and the guy's giving shiur, and you have a hard time following with a certain sense of clarity what's going on, and that frustrates you, and you view that as a useless experience, says Rav Hutner, that is a person most of the time who does not really understand. Chaser lo koach shel amida al das harav. He's losing something. Rav Hutner says in parentheses, Ein li kanis kan bepraditas bara shel eilu simanim. I can't explain to you now why those simanim indicate that. Efter lismoch bazeh al chacham shekmoscha, but you, the person he's writing to, you're a sufficient chacham to understand why. V'dayel chakima b'remiza, it's all you got to know. Let's make a brief suggestion to what Rav Hutner is describing. If the receiving of Torah is a receiving only of information, then if I've already heard that information, so there's no point in hearing it again. I'm going to find it as being unnecessary. If you've heard the same vort multiple times, like some of us may have had of a different letter of Rav Hutner, a broad life and a double life. If I have heard that multiple times and I hear it again, I'm going to say, I know that already. Says Rav Hutner, it receiving information, so I know the information of that letter. It's unnecessary to hear it again. And the opposite, if I don't understand what's going on, so it's pointless, because it's all about receiving information. It's like being, to use the words of Rav Hutner in the other letter, receiving mazon mi bachutz. Do I have food or not have food? What am I gaining with that receiving information in an external kind of a way? So that it serves no purpose. It accomplishes nothing if I already know it, or I don't understand it. But if you understand that relationship of Rebbe to Talmud is supposed to be more than that, it's not just about receiving Torah knowledge. It's supposed to be a certain kind of intimate experience where you're getting something from the personality of the Rebbe. You're getting something from a certain kind of closeness, a certain kind of just getting a certain kind of essence of what that person's trying to give over. So even if I've already heard it, it's still very, very valuable. It's still very valuable. I'll give you a mashal to try to describe it. When a person is a musmach of Rav Hutner once shared this insight. When you are when a person is falling in love, when a person's falling in love you're falling in love with a girl. So you will see sometimes that the couple, they're just looking at each other a lot. There's a lot of just of looking at each other. There's a certain kind of, they're looking at each other, said this Rav, in order to know what the other person looks like. They want a certain kind of closeness. There's a certain kind of closeness. They want to spend a lot of time with each other, not because in the conversation they're gaining more information, but because etzem, the closeness, the building of a relationship, is something which is very, very valuable. In a different way, when you're hearing Torah, even if we've had the conversation before, even if you've heard the Torah already, that kind of an intimate experience, that kind of a closeness, you're still going to experience as being valuable. And also, says Rav Hutner, even if I'm not following all the details, just being there is something which is so powerful and so moving. Amida al dasara, a certain kind of, I saw it, I've never seen it as well as the second day of Pesach. I saw it was one of the more powerful experiences I've had. My wife's grandparents, we're in Montreal, my wife's grandparents are survivors. Second day of Pesach is the 71st anniversary of my wife's grandfather's liberation when he was freed after the Holocaust. It was an unbelievable thing. 2 years ago when I went out to lunch with him, it was so powerful. And at lunch, so he spoke a lot about the liberation. Spoke a lot about the last couple days when the Nazis had them on trains and a friend of his was killed and the walking and the like. He showed my kids the tattoo on his arm. It's one of the more, the whole trip was worth it. My wife right away, you know, when that was happening, like that ended the whole trip. It was unbelievable. My kids were sitting there, my two oldest, and they were so focused on what he was saying. I've never seen them locked in that way. My daughter's 5 years old, she was locked in. In talking to them after, they did not understand a lot of what was going on. They didn't have, all the details of what happened was not so clear to them. But they understood the fact that there was something majorly important, something incredibly significant that was going on. They appreciated a certain kind of closeness, a certain kind of being mekabel something that was much more than just information. That is in a different way what Hunter's describing about Rebbe Talmud relationships. It's about getting information for sure, but it's about something more intimate, it's about something closer, and it's about something which is supposed to be much more transformative. It's about the experience of getting a certain kind of essence. They understood a lot about my wife's grandfather. They understood so much about him by sitting there and listening to him speak in a way that they didn't understand the details of liberation, the Nazis are making you walk somewhere, but to see how they were locked in, I found to be incredibly, incredibly powerful. How did Rav Huttner do this? One of the things which is nice, and this is why letters are important. Rav Yonasan David, who's Rav Huttner's son-in-law, writes in the Hakadama to Rav Huttner's letters a very important story. Rav Shafkin spoke here, I think earlier this year, made this observation also. The reason why letters are so important is because letters are written to actual people and they're often giving actual advice. There's Torah that you say over when you're giving a shir. There's Torah you're saying over, you're giving like a certain kind of a shir. And there's Torah that you give over when you're actually talking with someone and applying it to the real world. You learn a lot about the Torah that's applied to the real world. So letters, Rav Huttner, in some of these pieces, describes, like we just saw, the ideal relationship of a Rebbe and a Talmud. When you see in the letters so many, I think to get it, you have to read through a lot of them, to appreciate the way that Rav Huttner spoke to his Talmidim, I think you see that he really did this. And let's talk about how Rav Huttner did this. Rav Huttner was a very, very, on the one hand, a very strong person. He gave over tochacha to his Talmidim often. Big Talmidim Rav Huttner, you will hear that all the time. A strong kind of a musar that was often given over to his Talmidim. Rav Yonasan David writes in Hakdama that Rav Huttner held that a Rebbe giving tochacha to Talmidim is not just a din in tochacha, not a regular din of rebuke, but he understood elosh nechlalsi beguf maisa mesura shel Talmid shel divrei Torah. Part of the mesura of Torah, part of a Rebbe's job in giving over Torah, is giving it sometimes with a bit of tochacha, giving it a bit with some rebuke, a bit of a harshness that occurs sometime. I'll share a maisa because it's a maisa must may be familiar with of one example of Huttner's kind of a tochacha. Source number 7 of Lichtenstein has this story. It's a beautiful one, I think an important one, especially as we get to the season next week when we start thinking about Eretz Yisrael, maybe a little bit differently. Lichtenstein is describing his initial visit to Eretz Yisrael. In the course of my initial visit to Eretz Yisrael during the summer of 1962, I went to visit Moishe Rabbi of Yitzchak Huttner. Huttner, Rav Aaron used to describe three people as being his Rebbeim, the Rav, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and Rav Huttner. Rav Aaron learned by Rav Huttner when he was in high school, when he was younger, and maintained a relationship with him. 1962, Rav Aaron is going to visit Eretz Yisrael to check out, is he going to move to Eretz Yisrael, not move to Eretz Yisrael. He visits Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner spent time in Eretz Yisrael when he was younger. He just missed the Chevron massacre in 1929. I think they say because he spent Shabbos with Rav Kook, so he missed the Chevron massacre. He then spent time, obviously a lot of time in Europe. He spent some time, then he was in America. Even after he was in America, he spent some time in, he ended up spending significant time in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Huttner was also, this is more of a Rav Huttner biographical point, was part of hijacking when he was for a long period of time. That's not for now. After reproaching me gently for having left my wife in the United States, so first Rav Huttner gave Rav Lichtenstein a little bit of a musar for coming to Eretz Yisrael without his wife. He often asks in letters, you didn't tell me anything, please, you know, how is your wife? He often gives a little bit of musar to Talmidim for not saying anything about that. He then began to question me regarding my impressions, particularly about what had struck my nose especially. What hit you when you visited Eretz Yisrael? Like, what hit you? At that stage, I focused on the Torah world in Eretz Yisrael, I noted the number of phenomena that struck me favorably as compared to the American scene. So Huttner said to Rav Aaron, so, what are your impressions of Eretz Yisrael? And Rav Aaron spoke about the Torah, so much more widespread popular Talmud Torah, interaction with the Torah and general communities, the implementation of Choshen Mishpat. Every reply was rebutted with the comment that a subject could have been found in Eastern Europe as well. Varen said, no, there are people here, the Talmud Torah is amazing, Talmud Torah is great in Europe, also Velazhen, Slobodka, Mir, great yeshivas. No, the Choshen Mishpat, there were Dayanim and Batei Din in Europe also. You know, what's so unique about Eretz Yisrael? When he sensed that I had exhausted my material, he pressed on, inquiring as to what indeed was special about my visit. And when it became clear that I could at best only respond feebly, the Rosh Yeshiva opened with a volley of sources and dicta. Descriptions of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ata, all trumpeting forth the sacral, metaphysical, and historical uniqueness of the land, and all causing me to realize in a flash I had missed the boat entirely. I came to Eretz Yisrael, I was looking at Eretz Yisrael, there's better Torah in Eretz Yisrael. I wonder, it was said about, you missed the whole point. Eretz Yisrael is the land where you're closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. Eretz Yisrael is the land, the Ramban in this week's parsha of Achrei Mos, or last week, depending on, you know, where you're at. The Ramban describes the Kedusha. It's Ribono Shel Olam doesn't have any messengers getting involved in Eretz Yisrael. It's Ribono Shel Olam himself getting right there, and he, as he rallied on, as perhaps only he could, against tourists he met on the plane, acting and talking as if they were en route to vacation in California, the sense of failure cut deeper and deeper. He was giving Rav Aaron a bit of mussar. You missed the point. I walked out into the Beis HaKerem evening air like a beaten dog. But I know I had been beaten justly. And today, almost 45 years later, I remain deeply grateful to Rav Shiva for opening my eyes and for opening my heart. A certain kind of a... Rav Hudner, what he was trying to accomplish, he wasn't trying to share mikoros. It wasn't just about giving over a certain kind of appreciation for Psukim and Marech Chazal and Ramban, but the Ramban's Marech Chazal and the Psukim are really what was familiar with. But trying to, and he believed that giving over Musar in that kind of a way was part of the relationship. Not a separate key of Tochacha, but part and parcel of the relationship. And sometimes he's a bit stronger about it. A little bit of a well-known letter is source number 4. It's a very brief letter. The names of who's written to most of the time are taken out. Kivod HaRav HaGaon HaNa'ale Shalom Evracha. I am writing to you to let you know I do not forgive you. The Eineni is bold. I am letting you know I do not forgive you. Very strong. What's the back of the letter? So the footnote there. So first, the person who wrote the letter noted two things. Rav Hudner, he said, never refer to him in letters in that kind of a way. Of the Kvod HaRav HaGaon HaNa'ala. What's so incredible about Hutner's letters, even when he gives Musar, it's always empowering. It's always a way which is picking someone up. He's about to give a very strong Musar, but understand that I'm not giving Musar because I think you're low, I'm giving Musar because I think you should be great. And that's a very important chiluk. The Tochacha and the Musar that Hutner gave was not because I think you're nothing, it's because Dail Hakim Burmiza, it's because I think that you're greater. I think you should be greater. What was the background? I find this amazing. What was the Musar for? I would have thought it was whatever. We could have guessed a lot of things. V'yitzuyen shak pei dehaisa ami belihi matzo b'seviva shal b'nei Torah b'tmei chamim b'yamim noraim. It was a Talmud of Rav Hudner who did not spend yamim noraim around b'nei Torah and tmei chamim. And Rav Hudner held that that was very. He would give mussar and he said, "I don't forgive you for doing that. I don't forgive you for doing that." A very strong kind of a mussar. I want to show you another letter where Hutner gives, again, not a strong musser, but it gives you a handle of what he was trying to build, of what he was trying to do. Again, the Talmud Torah, the information part is there. That's true for everyone. Hutner, I'm emphasizing some of the letters where he highlights, a lot of those are about Talmud Torah and Yonah. I'm going to highlight some of the relationship piece. I find this to be such a wonderful insight. So he got a letter where someone's asking a bunch of questions about pieces in Pachad Yitzchak. And the footnote writes there, it's an amazing thing, because if you look at the letters, I think you have to read them inside. In the beginning, they tell you in like the Hakdam, and like the table of contents, the topic of every letter. Often, as far as getting the relationship, it's the first and last paragraph, which is not about the major topic, where you learn a lot about, you're able to see a lot of things. So he wrote a whole letter answering kashas about financial issues. He wrote, Vinay, I'll be shaksat l'chash, he said, Antik harbeya ha'aroscha b'tibet kuntras. I wrote to you, I enjoyed so much your questions about what I wrote in Pacha Yitzchak. I have to tell you the truth. I would have felt so much better had you told me. That the piece, that the shtickle Torah that I said, I would have liked it so much more had you told me, not that you have a kasha on what I said, but had you written to me that now as a result you davened better. that now as a result of the Torah you heard, you engaged more in chesed. Now as a result of what you heard from me, you became a better kind of a person. He said, you know why? My dear one, you know that you are exceptionally intelligent. You are very, very bright. Kuntner says, thank you for the letter and the Torah was great. But again, it's the kind of thing you can only give over when you're close to people. It's the kind of thing you only give over when you're being toveya more. When you want your... Kuntner says, because you're so great in learning, you know what's going to give me more chizuk? When I hear about how your avoda is different. When I hear about as a result of your learning, you're now a better person. Your tefillah is a different kind of a tefillah. Your chesed is a different kind of chesed. That will be something which I think will be, and he says, b'chol ofen eni chazer, hineni batuach taskimi mi b'tzikas ha-mishpat ha-achron. I know you'll agree with me about that. B'chol ofen eni chazer b'todah al-divrei Torah, but thanks again for the Torah. He added a thing he said a bunch of times. Rav Kuntner thought his Talmidim should be very, very open with him about what's going on in their lives. He always says to them in the letters, things that you view as not chashuv, for me, they're very chashuv. To know what's going on in your life is very, very chashuv. Don't be hesitant to write about things that are not so chashuv. Sometimes you have that, I know, as a Talmid, you have that with a Rebbe. You want to maintain a relationship with the Rebbe, but sometimes you don't have the big issues to bring up with the Rebbe. So what am I going to sit down and talk about? So Rav Kuntner tells Talmidim all the time, talk to me about things that aren't so significant. From my perspective, what's going on in your life is very important. So right at the end of this letter, Tzas Tema Be'enai, I have a kasha on your letter. Ki mitlecha ya b'vchinas kul Hashem. Your letter was like kul Hashem, it was pure Torah. Kilo was karte bo shum darva odos nechol. You didn't tell me anything that's going on in your life. What's going on in your life? How you doing? Ha'el kaimulan. He's quoting Baram Pesachim. Again, he's misquoting it to prove his point. To be in a mechza lachem, it didn't about shavuos. No. We don't hold kul Hashem. You need mechza lachem also. Give me a little bit. What's going on in your life? Bivakasha litaken etzeh. Please fix this. Meaning, tell me what's going on in your life. I want to close. I want to know what's going on. How are things going? That is chashuv sometimes. What's perceived is not so important. Because it's not about a Rebbe Talmud of giving over a relationship. It's about giving over a certain set of chiyas, but a certain kind of involvement, a certain kind of closeness, an intimate involvement. Like a parent who always cares, you know, what's going on in your life, that the small day-to-day things are so chashuv. I want to just note one last a mimer of Rav Huttner, where he points out a little bit of a critique based in this yesod, and with that we will conclude. Rav Huttner gave a mimer. The mimer was given, it was in Yiddish. Rabbi Carmi, who's a professor in YU, translated the mimer into English. I will, for you guys, I guess, I'll read it in English, opposed to the original Yiddish. My Yiddish is a bit weak, other than the words like schwer, I guess. So yeah, exactly. Not enough to follow in the original. Rav Huttner, Rav Huttner did not give that many speeches publicly. Rav Huttner primarily he gave shiurim in his yeshiva. We'll speak, it's interesting how he did it. He gave ma'amarim over. He did not speak in public forums that often, but he spoke in Yiddish to a conference of educators, to a bunch of mechanchim, and he shared a bit of a critique of the world of chinuch. There's a lot spoken about professionalizing education. That's a wonderful thing, especially if your wife does that professionally, as far as training educators, you believe in that. There's a lot to be said for professionalizing education. That the world of chinuch is a world where teachers know a lot what they're doing. It's not always as hamish, but there's a certain structure of how you do things, how to teach in a way that people can learn better and things like that. There's a lot to be said for professionalizing education. Some quote a mesorah from Rav Wolbe that our mesorah in chinuch is to use the tools best available to give over Torah. Which means also use whatever those tools are, and every door that understands those tools, to use them to give over Torah in the best way possible. Rav Huttner has at the same time a bit of a critique of professionalizing education in one particular way, making teachers a bit more distant, making teachers a bit more removed, and having a certain kind of of authority where you're somewhat distant. The Hunter points out a Gemara in Baba Basra. It's a Gemara that we know. It's something which is such a, it's an amazing ha'ara. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph, the original system was fathers taught sons. In the time of Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, the system broke down. There were fathers that didn't know enough Torah to teach their kids. It wasn't going to work. And eventually the Gemara tells us, and without him, the Torah would have been forgotten. The Gemara tells that because Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla set up a school system, he ensured the continuity of Torah, he set up a school system where there would be rebbeim instead of parents. That is often described as, if you look about it, the fact that we have a school system, we are a nation that for so many years has had nachrayas towards the education of all of our children as an incredible maila. Look what we stand for as far as real kind of chinach. Hudner points out that Gemara in many ways describes something tragic as well and has to inform if you are a hava mina maskana kind of a person, you are a rejection modification kind of a person, the maskana is more modifying than it is rejecting. What's going on is as follows. The ideal way of doing it was supposed to be fathers teaching children. A father teaches a child because the person who gives you physical life should give you spiritual life, says Rav Hutner. The natural place to get life comes from a parent. That natural life of the physical life you're born from there, also your Torah should come from a parent. When that could no longer be done, in our society, by and large, it's not done. Our parents are usually not the dominant chinuch figures in our lives. When that's done, says Rav Hutner, so now the metzias all over the world is a different metzias. It's a metzias of rebellion. But that is not supposed to be a rejection of the first model. The job of a rebbe is not supposed to be totally professional, certainly using good techniques to give over Torah, but not supposed to be distant. The rebbe is not supposed to be someone who is just giving, imparting information with a certain kind of a richuk, a certain kind of a distance between rebbe and Talmud. But the rebbe is supposed to try to give over, as the Gemara's in the second paragraph of Masech Sanhedrin tell us, as Rashi tells us, Al HaTorah in a couple of different contexts, it's supposed to be like that same kind of an intimate experience. It's supposed to be that Torah has to be given over, not just as information, but just as ideally the father gives over Torah to son with a certain kind of closeness, a certain kind of intimacy. So too a Rebbe gives over Torah to Talmidim with a certain kind of closeness of who that Rebbe really is. Trying to give over not just content, but much more than that. And if Hutner says, there's a problem if that's what's going on. That there's a real fundamental error in chinuch, that's what's happening. It was never supposed to be that way. It was never supposed to be. Even this is not ideal, having one person in the front and 20-something people sitting in the room. That wasn't supposed to be like that. It was supposed to be maybe a bit more one-on-one. It had to have a school. Fine. But when you have that, remember the ideal. Rav Hutner in the first letter. Ideally it'd be b'yechidus. Ideally it'd be one-on-one. And ideally it's supposed to be with a certain kind of closeness, a certain kind of warmth, sometimes a certain kind of musr that's supposed to be given over. Let's just chazer what we spoke about. There's a lot to say. There's a lot to say, and it's important we speak about in time of Sefiras HaOmer when we're gearing up towards a Kabbalas HaTorah and the Mesorah of Torah. The source of so much of our Mesorah comes from our family and our community, and it comes from our rebellion. When we speak about the kind of Mesorah that we're trying to receive, we speak about a Sefiras HaOmer leading into a time period of Shavuos, of a Mesorah of Torah, of relationships with Torah. It didn't end at Har Sinai, it continues a certain kind of a Kabbalas HaTorah. What we're trying to experience, and it's clear that Kabbalas HaTorah had so much of this, Rav Hutner tells it is not like the mashal of the kid that there's mazon prepared in the kitchen and it's brought out and you eat that food. It's supposed to be closer. It's supposed to be more intimate. Rav Hutner understands that this has a lot of implications in how Rav Hutner deals with people. It has implications for tochacha, sometimes being a bit strong. The kind of tochacha, the playing up. A tochacha doesn't, not because you're low. Tochacha because you should be higher. You should be more elevated. And there's a certain kind in the thought of Rav Hutner of that closeness with implications also. Being in the shir and knowing the content already, being in the shir and not following it as much, to experience the amida al da'as rabba, the ability to appreciate what really is there and how things really have the ability to impact us. May we all be zocha to grow as far as our Torah content. And for those of us that are going to be in future weeks, we'll speak a lot about that Torah content of Rav Huttner, a lot of the machshav of Rav Huttner. But to get a bit of the background as far as how we understand the world of chinuch and what we're striving to do, to cultivate a certain kind of closeness, to cultivate a certain kind of closeness that doesn't give over from Sora, but builds us into people that are able to be increasingly successful. Shkaya, guys, have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.